This evening I'm going to be speaking on a lesson that I actually received from a brother in Tennessee who was at Polishing the Pulpit. And I've taken his sermon, I've changed it a little bit and retitled it. And I'm titling it 12 Proverbial Reasons Not to Drink. And I'm going to base the majority of the sermon off of Proverbs 23. So if you're already in the book of Proverbs, please turn over to chapter 23. Proverbs 23. And before we get into the text in Proverbs 23, I want you to just look at a couple of other passages from the book of Proverbs that demonstrate that this is not just one secluded passage in the book of Proverbs, because he talks about it in other places as well. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, which is just read to us, we read that wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Obviously here what he's doing, Solomon takes the words wine and strong drink and he personifies them. Because wine itself is not a mocker, neither is strong drink a brawler. But what he is saying is that somebody who drinks these things becomes these things. Someone who drinks wine is going to become a mocker. Someone who drinks strong drink is going to become a brawler. So he personifies this alcohol and says, this is what it's going to do to you. And he makes his closing statement in verse 1. He says, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. In Proverbs chapter 31, and there is some discussion and question as to who wrote this passage, whether it was Solomon under an assumed name or somebody else, but it doesn't really matter in my estimation who wrote it, because the Holy Spirit saw it important enough to put it in here. But in Proverbs 31, we begin in verse 4, and it says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. So as he begins this passage, he says, kings should not drink. Shouldn't drink anything, he says, and here's why, because it's going to make you forget the laws you've made, and pervert justice. He continues on in verse 6, he says, give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Now I think you have to be careful with verse 6 and 7 because there are some who say, well, he's okaying it for everybody else. I don't think that's what he's doing. I think he's making a comparison here and saying, so he's saying, you don't do it, king. Everybody else, they might do it, but you don't do it. I don't think he's giving a free beer program here. I don't think that's what he's initiating. I think what he is, if you look at his words here, you'll see that he is talking about those who are perishing and those who are in distress. And we all know that if you give wine to someone in distress and they become drunk, when they wake up, are they in any better of a situation? The answer is obviously no. I want to share a quote with you from Wayne Jackson about this passage. Talking about this passage, Wayne Jackson said, what about the Christian? If a king needs clear thinking and sound integrity serving the civil interests of people, does not the Christian need sober thinking and virtuous influence in serving the spiritual interests of people? Wayne Jackson makes an argument then from lesser to greater. King Lemuel, he says, is the lesser one. Christian's the greater. If a King Lemuel, if it's important for him to avoid drinking because he needs to be concerned with the physical interests of his people, isn't it much more important for a Christian who should be concerned about the spiritual interests of others that they avoid it? So Wayne Jackson makes the point, does not the Christian need sober thinking and virtuous influence in serving the spiritual interests of people? And I think the obvious answer is, yes, he does. So let's go ahead and look at the 12 reasons from Proverbs 23. 12 reasons why it is not a good thing to drink alcohol. The brother who put this together put these 12 reasons together in such a way that every single one of them starts with the letter S. Sometimes I thought that's kind of an interesting choice of words, but he wanted it to fit his pattern, so we'll go ahead and begin. Proverbs 23. This is from, before we actually get into this verse, look at Proverbs 23, verse 20. He begins it this way. He says, be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. Then he says here in verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. So first reason he gives is that there is a scarcity or shortage caused by alcohol. And of course we know this, right? We can look at the person who stands in the corner who's an alcoholic and we can see that they are in a situation where they are lacking in food, lacking in shelter, lacking in clothing. And it may be for a number of reasons. Maybe it's because they have physically taken the money they've had and gone and spent it on alcohol. Or perhaps even more likely, they've lost a job. They've lost a family because of their alcohol. I had an uncle who was a great man in a lot of ways, real friendly, a lot of fun. Every time he was given an opportunity for a job, it always fell apart, eventually, because he couldn't contain himself. And so because he could not contain his desire to drink, he lost job after job after job and was always looking for somebody else to give him another one. Because, as the point here says, the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. So number one, the scarcity or shortage caused by alcohol. There is a stupor caused by alcohol. Now, stupor means that you are kind of in a state of unconsciousness. You're unaware of what's going on around you. So there is a stupor that is caused by alcohol. Look at the second half of verse 21. He says, and slumber will clothe them with rags. They're going to be unaware of their situation. They're not going to realize that they are clothed with mere rags. You see this picture, and it's kind of funny, but it's kind of sad. Because they're so unaware of the situation they're in that there's a guy here and he's going to be injured when he wakes up, and another guy that's not going to want to know where his face was. Number three, and this one is going to skip down to verse 29 in chapter 23. And I want to make this point as we look at the next few reasons. Solomon now poses a riddle. And I'm kind of destroying the riddle by how I'm presenting it to you. But he's posing a riddle to the readers. He's going to ask them a series of questions, and he's not going to answer it until the end. He's going to say, who has this? Who has this? Who has this? And finally, he's going to tell us the answer to the riddle. So the first part of the riddle, who has woe? So there is a sadness caused by alcohol. Who has sorrow? There is sorrow caused by alcohol. The strife caused by alcohol in the next part of the riddle. Who has strife? And I think that we all know that if you have a situation that is as a controlled situation and all of a sudden you add alcohol to it, a lot of times what does it become? An uncontrolled situation. You go to sporting events and they're wanting to limit somehow the consumption of alcohol because you get alcohol and these thousands of fans sitting in there in the arena, and pretty soon the arena is out of control. Pretty soon people are throwing things over at the players because alcohol brings out, going back to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it makes you a brawler. And here we see the question again, who has strife? So there is a strife caused by alcohol. There is a squawking caused by alcohol. The next question Solomon asks, who has complaining? I've never worked at a bar or a tavern or in a situation like that, but you know, you watch TV and you see these people come up to the bar, and as they start drinking, what do they start doing? Complaining about how bad their life is. About how their wife left them, their job's no good, their boss is awful. So it brings out this sense in people that they complain about their life, they complain about the situations that they're in. So there is a squawking caused by alcohol. There is a soreness caused by alcohol. And again, just like the picture we saw a moment ago, here's a guy who's too inebriated to realize that his chair is broken, he's fallen through and cracked his head on the back of this on this tree. So verse 29 says, who has wounds without cause? I remember in high school, when I was a sophomore in high school, there was a guy who went to high school with me who was a very, you know, big guy, kind of a tough guy. He came to a football game one night and he was very intoxicated. And it was kind of funny because everybody was punching him and kicking him and kneeing him in the leg, and he was just laughing, woo-hoo-hoo, and everybody was laughing as they gathered around him, punching him and kicking him and kneeing him. And then a couple days later, I talked to him and I said, hey, how you feeling? He said, I feel awful. He said, I've got bruises all over the place. I don't even know how I got them. And of course, we all did. I will tell you though, I wasn't punching and kicking and kneeing him. I wasn't doing that. But the point here, and Solomon hits it, you're going to have wounds without cause. You're not going to know where your injury came from because, again, going back to the part of stupor, you were so released from your consciousness that you were not unaware of what was happening to you. There is scarlet caused by alcohol. Who has redness of eye is what Solomon asked in verse 29. And this verse perhaps might be better translated, who has dimness of eye. Some of the translations I read, some of the things I read says, what he might actually be referring to is that those who drink, their vision is impaired, at least temporarily as they drink. But the question, going with his outline, there is a scarlet caused by alcohol. So here's the riddle. You see I broke it up. Here's the riddle Solomon asks. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? So here's the answer that Solomon gives us. Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine. He makes this point, verse 31. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. The New Living Translation, I thought it had an interesting rendition of verse 30. The New Living Translation reads this. It is the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new drinks. Number 9, there is a sickness caused by alcohol. Verse 32 reads this, in the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. And I think that we all recognize this as a true statement too. We all recognize that when you see this person who's very intoxicated, very inebriated, every person who's been around anybody who's drank knows that that person is not going to feel good the next day. In fact, as we already seen a picture a moment ago, you may have your face in a toilet because you're going to be throwing up. So there is in a very real sense, a short-term illness associated with drinking. But it's also true that there are long-term illnesses associated with drinking. Here's a quote from the World Health Organization. According to the new report from the World Health Organization, the harm caused by alcohol nearly equals that from smoking. Now, this is not encouraging anyone to go smoke. And it certainly should not be encouraging anyone to drink. The point the World Health Organization found was that people who drank regularly had almost as many health effects, negative health effects from it as those who smoke. And we all know, without a doubt, that smoking is one of the worst things you could do for your body. And the WHO found out that alcohol almost is bad. I hope you can read this. I'm not sure if you can. This is just kind of the harmful effects of alcohol. I found this on the internet. It begins on the top and going down. It says brain damage, addiction, and stroke. Then his eyes, blurred vision, then his mouth, slurred speech, then his throat, bleeding throat, then his lungs, breathing may stop, his heart, irregular heartbeat, stomach ulcers, liver disease, liver failure, then his arm, muscle weakness, then the one below that is intestines, intestinal cancer, intestinal ulcers, men impotence, women infertility, osteoporosis. And you can add to this a general worsening of health. It is very true that somebody who drinks a lot is in worse health because there is a nutritional component to this as well. Alcohol inhibits nutrient absorption. In addition to its inhibiting nutrient absorption, it's also true that those who drink often do this and neglect to eat healthy foods. So there is, without a doubt, a sickness caused by alcohol as well. Number 10, the strange sights and thoughts caused by alcohol. Verse 33, we read, your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. And again, if we think of people who have been drinking, we know this to be true as well. I remember the first time I watched the movie Dumbo, the cartoon. I didn't know what was going on when Dumbo was sipping that stuff, but as an adult looking back on it, I realized he's getting drunk. The little elephant is getting drunk in there. And what does he start seeing things? He starts seeing pink elephants. And so we see strange things. When people drink, they will see things, strange things, and they will have confusing thoughts. Thoughts that are utter perverse things. Number 11, there is a stupidity caused by alcohol. There is a stupidity caused by alcohol. Verse 34 says, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. The point here he's making, he says, it's going to be like somebody who falls asleep in a dangerous place. In fact, the NIV reads for verse 34, you will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. And again, why are they lying in a place, sleeping in a place which is dangerous? Because they are in a sense of stupor. Verse 35, they struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. It's because he is so unaware of the situation he's in. He's unaware of the danger he's putting himself in. He's unaware of the danger he's putting other people in. We know that drunk driving is one of the greatest causes of accidents in the United States today. Because this person who's drinking thinks they're still okay to drive. They're unaware that they are endangering themselves and anybody else. And here's this gentleman as he's laying on top of a cliff with his legs hanging over, and he's unaware of the situation he is in. Number 12, the final of the 12 reasons from Proverbs 23. There is a slavery caused by alcohol. So here's a guy, and he's gone through all these 11 things that Solomon's talked about. He's had this woe, this sorrow, this injury without cause, all these things. And he's so enslaved by it that when verse 35 says, when shall I awake? I must have another drink. Some translations read, when I awake, I must have another drink. Because he has become so enslaved by it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians 6. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians gives us a series of questions to ask ourselves in determining if it's a good idea to do something. And here is one of those series of questions. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6. Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful." So the first question Paul poses to people as they consider something, is it helpful to you? Now, first of all, we have to ask, is it helpful physically? And if the answer is no, then why would you do it? Then you have to ask the greater question, is it helpful spiritually? And if you answer no, then probably you shouldn't do it. He continues on in verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything." I will not be enslaved by anything. I have three older brothers, all of them at one point or another, they probably wouldn't want me telling you this, they're not here, they can't stop me. At one point or another, all three of them chewed tobacco. And all three of them struggled with this, to trying to quit. And if you ask any of them today, they will say it was one of the hardest things they had to do was stop chewing tobacco, because they became enslaved to it. Physically, their body became enslaved to it. There was a psychological component to their addiction as well. Paul says, if something's enslaving, don't drink it. And it's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Because who should be the only thing that we answer to? What should be the only thing we answer to? What should be the only thing that governs our life, that masters our life? God. Anything else that enslaves you should not be something that a Christian partakes in. So we see here that here is a person who is enslaved to alcohol. So the 12 reasons not to drink alcohol with his S's there. It causes scarcity, stupor, sadness, sorrow, strife, squawking, soreness, scarlet, sickness, strangeness, stupidity, and slavery. 1 out of every 10 people who drink become alcoholics. This is a pretty staggering number when you consider how many people drink in the United States, and you consider that 10% of them are going to become alcoholics. That's a pretty significant number. And the question is, are you one of that 10%? You know, it's like that old saying, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. I shared with the congregation on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago a story of a young man who presented himself to the hospital, and he had severe head injury, severe head trauma, and was not in a good situation, not a good place for this young man. And as the doctors and the police officers began questioning, I assume his friends, and I believe this is a true story, they found out that the reason he got these head injuries was because they were standing near a train track, and as the train was zipping by, this young man who had been drinking thought to himself, "I wonder how close I can get my head to this train before it hits the train." Now, I'll let you digest that one for a minute. Train whizzing by, and you start thinking, "How close am I, Joey?" What's going through these guys' minds? And we realize that that's just stupid, because as soon as you get too close, you're going to get a serious injury. You're going to get seriously hurt. You're playing with fire. At some point, you're going to get burned. The point with this statement, the point with the quote I'm sharing with you now, is that if you play with something that's dangerous, you just might get burned. You don't know how close you are to something that is very dangerous to you. Here is a quote from Prevention Magazine. This is not a Christian magazine in any sense. It is simply a health magazine. Here is a quote. "Though very moderate drinking has some health benefits, don't overlook the dark side of this drug. Alcohol kills more than 100,000 Americans a year and is a factor in almost 50% of all U.S. traffic deaths. Almost 18 million adults in the U.S. abuse it, and almost no one starts out believing they'll be one of the ones who will develop an alcohol problem. Listen to this. Alcohol is highly addictive, depletes nutrients, shortens lives, damages relationships, and usually brings out the worst in people. And if you're drinking to forget, guess what? When you wake up, whatever you were trying to forget is still there. Advice: if you're using alcohol to deal with anxiety or stress or other problems, find a better way." I have three more slides and then the lesson will be over. These last three, I'm going to kind of change directions, and I'm going to present to you priestly reasons to abstain from drinking alcohol. And I'm going to remind you that we are priests in the New Testament, in the church. We are priests of God. Peter makes that clear. Numerous other passages kind of allude to it as well. We are priests. So there are priestly reasons for us to abstain from drinking. I'm going to go to an Old Testament passage to demonstrate this. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning in verse 8, says, "The Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, 'Do not drink wine or strong drink. neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. And notice from this, he doesn't say don't come in drunk. He says do not drink wine or strong drink. Now watch. He says, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you or your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. Did drinking alcohol in the Old Testament prevent the priests from coming into the presence of God? Why were they coming into the presence of God? To offer to Him worship, to offer to Him sacrifice, to offer to Him prayers. God says, don't drink when you come before me. He made that clear in the Old Testament. Do not drink because it makes you unfit to come into the throne room of God. Following that conclusion, following that logic, should there ever be a time in our daily life when we are unfit to come into the throne room of God? Should there ever be a time in the life of a Christian where because he's been drinking, God would not rather have him in his presence offering a prayer? God would not have him in his presence to come before him to make requests? I think the answer that I'm trying to get at, and hopefully you see it, is no, that is not what God would want us to do. In the final slide tonight, priestly reasons to abstain. Second half of that verse we just looked at a minute ago, verse 10 says, so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane and between the unclean and the clean. So the second reason here from Leviticus is that priests was to abstain from alcohol because they always needed to be able to make a distinction between what was clean and unclean, holy and profane. So God says, you can't be drinking, priest, when you're coming in before me because you have to be able to make that distinction. Should there ever be a time when we as Christians are unable to make that distinction? Does alcohol hinder our ability to make that distinction? I've been talking about alcohol tonight, but obviously we can make this application to a lot of other sins. We can make this application to a lot of other things people struggle with. We could say that anything that is enslaving to you in a bad and negative way is not something you should be doing. Anything that supersedes God in your life, you shouldn't be doing. Anything that's going to cause you to not see right from wrong, you shouldn't be doing. It is not my intention tonight to berate anybody or to make anybody feel bad. And I know this is kind of a controversial discussion, to be quite honest. But this is my understanding of it, so I present it to you in that way. And I want to offer at this point an invitation to any who are here this evening who are struggling, maybe with the sins that we've talked about, maybe with other sins, anything that's keeping your relationship from God, with God, from being what it should be. We want to be here tonight to help you, and we want to offer the invitation song at this point.